Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
And I just love how it just seems like God orchestrates the direction in our paths for life. And last week, talking about freedom, then today I can't get that song Rob sang out of my head. The idea that death arrested and new life begins. Well, death represents anything that is not living. Death happens when life stops. I mean, and I just continually am amazed as I watch God's people fall into spirals that look like death happens, and then they lose their freedom. They lose the opportunity to rejoice, and they just look like they're sour. And I'm wanting to increase the kingdom of God by the words that I'm bringing and the things that I'm talking about. And today, I'm not going to bring something that's probably all preachy to you. I want to talk something real practical today. Just a real practical word, and it would be the second part of what I talked about 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I talked about friendships. How many of y'all were here during the friendships? Okay, so I talked about friendships and the importance of them and as we work towards them. Well, today, I want to talk even more in depth on that same subject. But you cannot take what I'm delivering today without already having heard 2 weeks ago. So it's on podcast. I want to encourage you, listen to the Friendship Podcast and put it with what I'm talking about today, because it's very important as we talk about today, right people. Right people. Right people in our lives. Proverbs 18:24 says, there are friends who destroy each other. Well, you just think about that for a second. Would you call someone who destroyed you a friend? Well, in most circumstances, you would say, no, I wouldn't consider that a friend, someone who destroyed me. But here's what it says. There are friends who destroy each other, but it's got friends in quotations in my Bible. There are friends. Now that makes sense. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. I can tell you today, I'm thankful for real friends. Real friends stick closer than a brother. Have you ever given your best in a relationship only to have been given the worst in return? Come on, everybody here has been there. Johnny Lee sang a song, looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in so many faces. I'm going back in life. I'm not trying to. But really, we look for things a lot of times, and we're looking for a friend to do something a friend was never designed to do. We're looking for a job to bring us contentment oftentimes, and a job will never bring you contentment. You're looking for a friend oftentimes to replace what Jesus already did for you. And we put a wrong perspective on friends. Now, once again, you got to listen to what I already talked about and the importance of friendships. But finding proper people in your life is important. And there's a way you do that. It's called character discernment. For those of you that don't know, before I was preaching, I was singing, and before I was singing, I was going to college. And in college, I majored in sociology, social work, and I took a lot of classes on how people think and operate. And there are two classes they would put people in. One is how society affects them and environment. And if you ever hear me talk very long, you'll hear me talk about their environment, because I'm a big advocate of environment and what it produces. But there's also what makes your psyche up, what makes you up based on your past, your background, which still has to do oftentimes with environment, but has to do with how you think. Culture will produce the way you think. The way you were raised denominationally or non-denominationally will also influence the way we think. So whatever church background or lack of will oftentimes start to make you think a certain way. Well, what I want you to know today is people in your life are important, and you've got to find proper people so that you can get the right psyche and you can get the right social advantages. And the way you find them is you find it through character discernment. Character discernment is the ability to find relationships that are good for you and to avoid those that are not. Now, you might hear some of what I'm saying today and say, Pastor, I don't find that in the Word. Well, you've not looked enough then, because we're going to talk about some things out of the Word that's very important as you implement character discernment in your life so that you can find proper people that will advance the kingdom of God. Now, I will get into this, and you have to pay very close attention so that I don't lead you down a wrong path, because that is not my heart. My heart is that by the end of today, you will hear the heart of Christ in what I'm talking about. Before I get into character discernment, I want to talk about the influence and how many people you can have in your life. If you have been on my staff, if you have been to Leaders Academy, I talk a lot about these things because it's very important to understand this. And the more I have prayed and seem to be counseling and talking with people about these areas, I thought it was really important that I bring this to the church body. I think it's just really important that you understand where my heart is as God's leading me to lead this church and the direction it's going. Ultimately, I want to lead it in His way. You have people in your life. Look around right now. Well, I don't have anybody in my life. Look around. You're in life right now, and there are people around you. So you have people in your life. Well, I don't even talk to any of them. I'm just talking about there are people in your life. Most people have five, and not more than that, five at the most, really close friends. Really close friends. 15 good friends that you would, well, how do I determine that? You would be especially distraught if they died. 15, really. And that's part of the five. So five and 15, and that five's part of that 15. Then you have 45 to 50 friends that you might go and have dinner with, or let's meet for coffee, or let's go hunt together, or let's hang out. You have 40 or 45 to 50 of those different friends. And then you have up to 150 friends and acquaintances that you do life with or that you are involved in the same community with. Now, I teach this a lot because it's very important that people understand this. You may have 5,000 friends on Facebook, but you don't know them all. Nobody does. There's nobody. The human mind has a real trouble with friends that are that we call friends or even acquaintances when that number gets over 150. Now, here's what I want you to know. You can have up to 500 acquaintances. That's people that you know their name, you know something about them, they know your name. And they know something about you. But it may be what they know about you is what they knew about you in eighth grade. It may be what they knew about you when you were in college and you guys hung out a couple times in colleges. Because that number of 150 rotates through life, and as it rotates and gets more and more, they may not stay in your same community, but they become an acquaintance of yours that you now knew 20 years ago, and they're in that 450 to 500 range of acquaintances. Are you following me? All right, then we got one step on top of that. Psychology will tell you, and I don't know that they're 100% right, but you can only put your name, a name and a face, and having met and you think you have an acquaintance or a knowledge of them, of 1,500 people. Now, how many of you say today, well, I know the president? Anybody? You don't know the president? Well, let me bring you up to speed. It's Donald Trump. I know the president. No, I know who he is. But I don't know the president. And no one here knows the president. But you can put a name and a face recognition with the president. The question is, can he you? So you may get over that 1,500, but you don't know him. But about 1,500 people you can say you know and you can put a face representation with and you've had a talk with or knowledge of. And they may you, but they may or may not remember you. That's up to 1,500. That number can go higher, but it's just knowledge of who people are. It's not a relationship. Are you following me? So The question today is, of these 1,500, of these 500, let me go on down, of these 150 you do community with, of the 45 to 50 that you would go and have dinner with and that you associate with, that's our biggest life group, by the way, here in this church. Of those people, who are they? Who are they? That's a good question. Because if in life you understand the significance of friendships and right people in your life, it's important that you know who they are. It's important. Today, as you ask yourself that question, who are they? The next question is, do you need to make some changes in that number of who those people are and move up some of them to different areas in the numbers? Are the five people that are closest to you producing in your life what you want produced? It's a really big question. Because I can tell you, your five closest friends, I can average out their life and I can put your name there. You can average out the life of your five closest friends and you just write your name in there. Whoever your five closest friends are, you can take all their qualities, who all they are, and you can average that out, and then there goes your name. Very important to think about that. You're an average of who's in your inner circle. Most people, and I know you might go, well, I'm the exception, and maybe you are, but most people, really can only ingest, that's a good word, 5 to 15 sources of content and information on a regular basis. You may think you know everything about someone that you've been following on Facebook, but you don't. You can only ingest about 5 to 15 sources of content about people. Now, we do get a little more of other people's life now in this day and age than we did when I was in college because of social media. We get a little more information, but you only get what they post. So, what you got to understand is, if you say, no, my inner circle is about 30 or 40 people, you're not ingesting everything about all those 30 to 40. You're just not doing it. It's not possible. Now, in life, you have best friends. I won't have you raise a hand, but how many of y'all just smile and say, I have a best friend? See, everybody's like, I got a best friend. I got 5 or 6 of them. And that's true. A lot of people have 3, 4, 5. They may have what they call 6, but 1 to 5, your inner circle. And I'm just using averages here. You also have social friends. Social friends are people you spend a great deal of time with. That's 7 to 12 of them. I'm just giving some different things here for you to think about as I'm talking. Then you have casual friends. People you know by name, you might work with, you socialize with at times. That number can get up to 150. We've just talked about this, and I'm kind of putting it in different perspectives so we really understand. Then you have acquaintances, and that's 150 to 1,500. All right, everybody's got that. All of these friends, what I want you to think about this morning, I'm getting real deep. Y'all still with me? Getting deep, but it's clear. We can go deep if we stay clear. If it gets muddy, we're in trouble. Here's what I want you to see. All of these friends fit into different categories. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, you have work friends, people that you know from work. You have family friends. You have church friends. You have neighbors. And all of us probably have some non-local friends. They don't live here, but we're in close communication and we're in communication a lot with them. So we understand that all 6 of those areas, 5, 6 of those areas, work friends, family friends, church friends, neighbors, non-local friends, but we have different areas, and I can put school friends in there for you younger folks. Let me stop here for a second and just give a quick disclaimer. I want you to see why it's important that I'm talking about this today. Parents are not teaching these concepts to our kids. And we're wondering why at 2021, they're hanging out with the people they're hanging out with. It's very important, parents, that you hear what I'm saying today, because all this is very applicable in how you raise a family. And one of the visions as God gave Michelle and I when we started this church was to teach families how we're going to be a success and how our kids are going to not hate us when they're in their teenage years, and how our kids, when they get out of the home, we can move right into the friendship stage and we can still be doing life with our kids. It's important that we understand this. And so I'm going to talk about this, and you might say, well, I'm going to relate it here to the Bible so that we can make sense of all of this. Placing all of these six areas, work, school, family, church, neighbors, non-local friends, then let's place them in another view. This other view is called discipleship point of view. All of those friends that are in all those different areas will fit one of these areas. Friends that could disciple me, one. A second one is spiritual peers, people that you're walking on the same path with, Amos 3:3. How can I agree with somebody unless I'm walking on the same path? Or how can I walk on the same path unless I agree? See, there's got to be an agreement for you to go down the same road with somebody. I don't ever walk with anybody that I'm not in agreement with. Why? Because they won't walk with me. So it's just not one of the things going to happen. So I have spiritual peers that I hang out with. There are friends who could disciple me. The third one is friends who I could disciple. They'll fit in one of those areas. And the fourth one is non-Christian friends. And all of us probably have someone who we would place in that area that we're praying for. Several years ago, I did something I found very important. And it made all the difference in my life. As I started really growing in my relationship with the Lord and really desiring Him, He started revealing to me the importance of friendships and the importance of right friendships. The importance of that and what it was going to produce in my life. I decided that I needed my best friends and my social friends, which are up to 15 different people that I have around me. I needed my best friends and my social friends to fit three of the four areas I just mentioned. The one area that I needed my social and my best friends, the inner circle of my friendships, the one area I didn't need them in that inner circle was the ones who were non-Christian friends. I needed to make sure all those that were in my inner circle and that were in my social circle of up to 15 people, all were either people who were discipling me, who were my spiritual peers, or who I were discipling. If you will hear nothing else I say today and you will take that, that will make a difference in your life. Those 15, I had to work really hard on making sure that I didn't have a non-Christian friend in that inner circle. Well, if Jesus was here, I understand that. And He is, and He works through us. And He will go out and He will win the non-Christian friend to Himself. But He won't go out and bring them into a circle of environment that does life with Him every day. He did with 12. He did with 12. And what I want you to see is, very important, don't think you're smarter than Jesus. Well, I can do, He didn't. Now he would go out and win. Today, I want you to think about this. Are your friends fitting into one of those areas? Now let's go back and talk about some character discernment. Two kinds of people. Flesh people is one of them. There are flesh people in this life and there are faith people. There are flesh people and there are faith people. Now, at times I know all of us can say, well, I'm kind of fleshy today. That's why we try on 5 different outfits in the morning, right? Which one do I not look as fleshy in? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I told my wife the other day, I said, I feel like you because I changed shirts 3 times trying to figure out which one was appropriate. Anyway, another story, rabbit trail. All right, flesh people. They waste your time and drain your energy. Flesh people, not saying they're bad people, they just got to not be in your inner circle. Flesh people, don't shun these people. God wants you to love them, but He doesn't want you to draw from them. It's very, very important. Faith people, here's the difference in these two. Faith people, they fill your life. They push you closer to the person God called you to be. They are the people who will be lovingly honest with you, but in that honesty, know that it's for your betterment, not for their frustration. They are strong and they are bold when you are weak. They're going to come in and lift you up. They're not going to throw you further under. After you start growing in the Lord, I found that God will send people in your life to start doing life with. I found this time and time again. When I really went to death in the areas of my life that I had flesh friends in, I started realizing that the more I wanted to grow in the Lord, the more that I needed to change my inner circle. I had to change some things that was going on. And so I thought, but these are all that I know. Come on, everybody's been, and I use that as a great excuse, but they're available. None of my faith people ever have time for me. They're all busy all the time, but all the other people, they call me all the time, and plus they do what I do, and they know what I know, and they really, and so I just need to stay there. And boy, I got convicted, and I started praying, and maybe you've been there. God, I need your help. I mean, I've got friends, but I know you're calling me to some different friendships, but I need your help. Yeah, I don't know if anybody's been there. That's where I was. God, I need your, I need some. And so then I started trying to engage some people who already had their inner circle, and I tried trying to squeeze in, and then they pushed me out, and I'm like, just going to go back over here to my flesh people. Now, I didn't know that terminology. I'm just using that today because as I couldn't get in an inner circle, I'm like, what am I going to do? I've given my heart and life to you, God, but nobody likes me. Or they won't let me in. They call everybody else when they're going to do something. My phone don't ring. And when I call them, they are always busy. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I just don't know. I just don't know. Let me give you some encouragement today. I have found that God sends people into your life. God sends people in your life to start doing life with. Here's the thing, both parties have to listen to and hear from God. And if you're being pushed out, know this, the other party didn't hear. So either you don't need to be in that, or you need to go, oh, I'm going to pray and invest somewhere else. But God will send people. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. This is going to be good. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Give you some background. After Paul's road to Damascus experience, where he had been persecuting Christians and then walking down the road to Damascus, and then he encounters Jesus. That happened there in verse 1 through 9. And Jesus kind of says, hey, why are you persecuting me? And tells Paul, get up, go in the city, and you'll be told what to do. And Paul was speechless, and he just didn't know what to do, and he's blind now, and I encountered Jesus, and now I'm blind, and I don't know really what to do here. Okay, let's read in verse 10. He had already told Paul what to do. And so now, verse 10, there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street. I like Straight Street. Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go. For Saul's my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So in verse 17, Ananias went, found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He regained his sight and he got up and he was baptized. He put to death the old man and said, I am now going to walk in the new life. Sin is arrested, my new life begins. See, whatever you want to call it, Saul found something really awesome. And you know how he found it? A friend was sent into his life. Now, as Saul, if you watch, and I can't go through his whole journey in the next 15 minutes, but I can tell you this. As Saul grew in the Lord, I can tell you his relationships changed. His inner circle changed. The people who he used to get direction from, he no longer had direction from anymore. Why? Because an Ananias came into his life. What I'm here to tell you today is if you will want Jesus, Jesus will send a friend into your life. But you need to want Jesus more than you want that friend. You need to want the things of God more than you want the friendship. And then you'll find things starting to happen. Paul needed to be saved, and God sent Ananias. 2 Corinthians 7:6, but God who encourages those who are discouraged, God who encourages those who are discouraged, God encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. Talking is just story after story where God's people, that's us, needed encouraged. What happened was God sent somebody. God sent somebody. God sent somebody. God sent somebody. And we got to know that he'll do it again. The people who take us down, we need to recognize or discern as wrong people. And the people who are lifting us up, blessed people, faith people, we need to discern them as right people. We got to recognize right and wrong. I want to talk about getting it right. The right people. The right people. The right people. How do we identify right people? How do we identify wrong people? That's important, isn't it? It's important to know who's right and who's wrong. And what do we do with wrong people who say that they're a Jew, who say that they're serving God, who say that they're doing it God's way, who actually will quote Bible verses? Do you know there are people like that that are still wrong? In your life, they're still wrong. God sent Jonah on a mission trip to Nineveh. Turn to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Verse 1. I was always fascinated as a youngster about the story of Jonah. And it had to be true because it was in the Bible. And I believe that from a very young age, if it's in the Bible, it's got to be true. And I still believe that to this day. So it had to be true. So I'm amazed by this story about the plan for Jonah's life. The Lord gave this message, chapter 1 of Jonah, verse 1, to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I've seen how wicked its people are. Verse 3, but Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. I can't tell you how many people have heard from God and then just went the opposite direction. Come on, me. Every one of us, we've heard from God and then just went the opposite direction. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket, went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he'll pay attention to us and spare our lives. Then the crew voted to see which of them had offended the gods, little g, and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? These are good questions to ask someone that you're doing life with. Who are you? But they were already doing it with him when he got on board. Jonah answered, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. That would be a good answer, wouldn't it? The sailors were terrified when they heard this. For he'd already told them he was running away from the Lord. Well, I don't know when he had done that, but he had told him his story. At some point, they'd been on the boat, obviously, a little while. And they said, why did you do it? Why'd you do it? And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop this storm? Verse 12 amazes me at what he said. Throw me into the sea. That would have been my first words. That's what Jonah said. Throw me into the sea, and it'll become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. So he's owning up to it. And the sailors are like, we got to get him off the boat because he said that. And obviously this is not any of us. We've already kind of voted for him. Verse 13, instead the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to land. Some good guys. Good guys here. We're rowing to get to land. But the stormy sea was too violent for them. I like in some translations, tempestuous. They couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. Oh, Lord. They cried out to Jonah's God. Oh, Lord. They pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin. And don't hold us responsible for his death. See, they didn't want to kill him. And they knew that in their mind, throwing him overboard would kill him. Remember that. Oh, Lord, you've sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea. The storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power. They offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Now, we've all heard this story. But one thing we never talked about is there were the guys that were on the boat with Jonah that was about to lose their lives because of one person who was being rebellious. I see this all the time. People about to lose their lives because somebody else is rebellious. Somebody else is walking in rebellion. I was just there. Yeah, but had you not been, you wouldn't have lost your life. See, if you were, I was just there. Where you were, where there was a place that if you wouldn't have been, you wouldn't be in the trouble you're in right now. I know, I was a teenager. And there was times during my teenage years, I was places I didn't need to be. I didn't ask to skip school when I lived in West Plains and drive to Springfield and bowl all day. My friend needed someone in case he got in trouble. I was just with him. I didn't need anybody else to know that story. And we got away with it. And that evening, I'm enjoying life and I'm out on my back porch. And I didn't have texting available then, or Facebook, or Snapchat, or any of these other things that would hide my path. I'm just talking on the phone quietly. What I didn't know is my mom had lifted the window right above where I was talking and was listening to every part of our conversation about how fun it was to not go to class and to bowl all day. Wonderful time. Rodney and I were just enjoying that conversation. So I go upstairs and my mom said, so how was today? And you know, something inside of me went off because she never asked that question at 8:30 at night. Maybe right after I got home. And I thought, how in the world is she on to me? The school even ratted me out. They had called her that day. But then I ratted myself out because she had the window open and I was talking about it. The Bible is very clear that your sins will find you out. Even at a young age, I ended up getting found out. And Mom had a little talk with me. And I tried to convince her that Rodney was the problem. I just happened to be there. He said, see, Rodney was my ride to school, from home from school, and if I was going to go anywhere, I had to be entrusted to be with him. There was nothing I could have done. How do you think that went over? There are times when you're not the problem. I understand that. The problem may be who you're associating with, And Mom real clearly let me know, if this is a problem, then we just will remove Rodney from being able to take you anywhere. Rodney's not the problem, Mom. I am. I know how Jonah kind of felt, you know. Everybody else is going to get the blame, but nobody else is getting the problem fixed. Jonah had to admit and say, okay, it's me. Kids, you got to get this. You need to get this now. It's important to know who wrong people are. It's important to know. Sometimes when your life is rocking, reeling in the storm, it's because people who you've attached yourself to are getting you in trouble. Jonah 1:11, Jonah knew he was the problem. Why would he ask them to cast him over? Why not just jump off the boat? Why not just jump off the boat, Jonah? Why not just jump off? Sometimes rebels try to make you feel bad. Here, throw me over and it'll all be okay. Why didn't Jonah just jump off? You ever thought about that? I think about these things. If you have a friend who won't get a job and is always eating your food and is not paying rent, then it could be that you need to throw him off the boat. So I don't know. Now what they're going to do is they're going to try to make you feel bad. Oh, but you're right. I know I should do better. I'll do something else. I guess I'll just go sleep down at the bus station. Here's the thing. There are people in life that you're just trying to help, and they're just trying to get a free ride. That will happen in life, and you'll never, never, ever hear them say, I'll voluntarily jump off the boat. You'll never hear them say that. They'll play on you being forced to throw them over. Some today may need to throw a Jonah overboard in your life. You probably won't hear a lot of pastors say that, but I think it's very important that you get your inner circle sold out to the Lord. And when they're running away from him, just know you're in disaster's way. You're in disaster's way. We're oftentimes hindering God's plan by trying to take things in our own hands. Listening to the voice of God is important. Asking for directions. It's tough for directions, especially if you're a man. I understand that. But you got to get to the point in life where you can say, I got to have some help here. Just a few things about this. His shipmates did something that I want to talk about. They were going about their own business, and all they did was give him a ride. They were just going about business as usual, and then wham, storm. They didn't mean to get into this predicament. Come on, how many been right there? I didn't mean to get in this predicament. I was just trying to be a friend. And then wham, I'm pelted with hail and phone calls and storm, and life becomes a tornado or a whirlwind. The second thing, they questioned Jonah, asked who he was, where he was from, tried to get some understanding about why this storm's there. He'd already told them, it said in verse 10, that he was running from the Lord. When you already know they're running from God, then don't get on a boat with them. Come on, I mean, that ought to be some knowledge there. Look at their life. It's not hard to know. What'd you do last Sunday? Well, we didn't do anything. We just slept in. What'd you do the Sunday before that? Well, we went on vacation. What about last? What'd you do the last? When you find out they're not involved in church, you might not want them in your inner circle. You might not want to be in a relationship with somebody who's you can see from their life. Jonah had told them he was running from the Lord. They knew it. The other thing is, after they found out he was in trouble, they wanted to help him, so they rowed harder to get the land. Did you hear that in the story? Let's get him over to land. The Bible says before they threw him off the boat, they just rowed harder and harder trying to get it. But what I want you to get from this is, it didn't get better, it got worse. Your plan's not always a good idea. You got to be aware of what will bring success. Then what they do? They talk to God. Very important what happened here. Don't let us die, God, for what this man did. Please don't hold us responsible. They acknowledged that it was God who had an understanding that they didn't have. See, they acknowledged that. They could only see death for Jonah, though, and that's what so many of us do with our friends. We only see, well, if I don't help them, nobody else will. Come on. There's been 100 people there. If I don't help him, nobody else will. Nobody else will. And we just stay and we give and we continue to put into. But know this, when you've done all you can, there are times God has a bigger picture. They could only see that throwing Jonah into the sea would produce death for him. But do you know what it produced? It produced not only life for them, but it produced life for Jonah. And then it produced life, if you read on in Jonah, for all the people at Nineveh. God had a way bigger picture. And you got to understand that it's important for you to surround yourself with right people. They praise God for seeing them through this. In verse 16, as soon as Jonah was off the boat, what happened was the ship people, the mariners, they started praising God and worshiping him. You cannot worship God. Hear this today. You cannot worship God as you should if you're in the middle of a toxic relationship, and there's turmoil all around you. You cannot worship God properly. You cannot worship God properly when you're involved in your inner circle with toxic environments. People that are toxic will keep you from worshiping God if you've got them in the wrong position. Today, basically, here's what I want you to see. Is someone taking your smile away? Is someone taking your joy away? Is someone taking your worship away? Now, please hear me. You have to hear the first sermon I did. This isn't a standalone topic. I just couldn't get it all into one. And if you're married and saying, yeah, it's my spouse, I'm not saying go get a divorce. What I am saying is this. Your inner circle, you need to make sure that it's headed in a God direction. By either being a mentor under, being a mentor of, or being a spiritual peer. That's how you can know. That's how you can know. And if we will work on this, we will get a hold of what Galatians 5:7 said. And we talked about that. I think I read that. Galatians 5:7. You are running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? I love this because it says who has held you back. It doesn't say what, it says who. In the kingdom of God, people hold people back from following the truth. People hold people back from following the truth. It's not always the devil's fault. People will hold people back from following the truth. I have watched it in countless relationships of young people. They start dating someone who's not sold out to the Lord, and that person holds them back from following the truth. I've watched it time and time and time again. Don't let someone hold you back from following God. Make your inner circle be following God's plan and purpose for your life. Now, I'm not saying don't give and don't help people that are in need. I'm talking about inner circle stuff here. You got to hear this. If you didn't hear the totality of what I'm talking about today, then you're going to go out and throw someone overboard who doesn't need to be thrown overboard. There are some people who need a friend. But in your inner circle, you've got to make sure you're heading down a path that's bringing you closer and closer to God. And if you've got toxicity in your inner circle, you can plan on disaster storms and frustration in your life every day. But I don't let people in my inner circle who are going to bring storms into my life. I'm very careful about that. My inner circle is full of people who either I'm able to mentor, who are mentoring me, or who are a spiritual peer walking on the same. Are you getting what I'm saying today? It's just important that you get this whole message. It's a real teaching message today. I understand it's not one of those, whoa, that was awesome, that was great. There are times for that. This is a real important step as we're going to move forward in the things of God. You have a group of prayer warriors that you hang out with. You have a group of people who daily you're texting. I have some text warriors, and we every day we're texting back and forth, and we're just talking about the things of God. I mean, it's important. And who is it in your life that's in those circles? Who is it? Because I will tell you that you are a sum total. You're a sum total of your own choices, but you're an average of the people you hang around. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Y'all get anything out of that today?
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.